It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Miss Neva Pite will be here shortly. Our guest this morning is our beautiful sister, Judy Gifford. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Amen.
Thank you.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page. And we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all. Would you please
pray
to start us out?
Yes, ma'am. Father, today, with grateful hearts, we're thankful today, Lord, for you, for life, for breath, for strength, for hope, Lord Jesus, for all that you have given through your word, Lord. What you've done for us, Lord, is beyond, oh God, what is beyond comprehension, Lord, the beauty that you have brought into our lives because of salvation and because of your sacrifice and the forgiveness of sin and all of the beautiful things you offer us, Lord. We're thankful for it. Now today I ask for the anointing upon this time, Lord. I pray for those who are watching and those who will watch. Lord, I ask for the anointing upon the word that comes forth, that you will quicken my mind and my heart. And to you be the glory and the honor, that you will bless Neva, that you will bless Monica, that you, oh Lord Jesus, will bless this time together. And may we have said it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. I like your title this morning, Prayers of the Bible.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for prayer.
Amen.
I don't think any of it be sitting here right now if it wasn't for that beautiful word and beautiful ability just to go before the throne of God. The scripture says here, it says, come boldly before my throne that you may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And let me tell you what, lately I've had a lot of times of need. And sometimes what we do, though, is we become carriers of burdens and carriers of disease even, you know, because this pandemic's been going on. We become carriers of all kinds of situations. But the Lord is trying to teach us in his word to become casters, because he says, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. And I'll tell you what, there is a release that comes when you go before the Lord in prayer with a little tiny bit of faith, the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And when you go before him, you don't know what he's going to do, but you know this, that he's going to hear you.
Amen.
You know that. You know that there is a God. And I'm thinking, when I was thinking last night about this, excuse me, what happens when we pray? Well, one of the things that happens to us is faith is activated in our heart, because in order to pray, if we come to God, the scripture says we must believe. We must believe. If we're coming to pray to somebody, then we believe in that person. We believe there is a person there. We believe that there is a God up there who is listening to us.
Yes.
That he is able to hear us, and even the slightest whisper, he is able to hear. We even believe, as we call on him, that he can look down and discern the thoughts of our heart and look into us and see our intent in praying. He can even tell if our prayers are casual. Thank you, Lord, for this food, you know, or if our prayers are intense. God, we've got to have a miracle. God, we've got to hear from you, Lord. We don't have a choice. Lord, we don't have any other way. You are our way. And the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, there's one scripture that says the Lord despises the prayer of the wicked. And what does that mean? I think that means there's somebody who their thought and intent of their heart is wickedness, and they really don't intend to pray a prayer drawing near the Lord. They just want God to do something for them. And so maybe they do say a prayer here and there, because we know prayers are going up all over the world, but many of them are going up to Buddha. They're not really going up. They're maybe going out from that person, but they're not going up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the one thing to always get an audience with God is, the Bible says, whosoever. And so that's anybody on this planet Earth, or out in space, or up in the air in an airplane, or underwater in the sea. Pardon me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. On the name of the Lord. It's not just any name. And I believe there's a lot of people praying useless prayers because they don't know who is the Creator. They haven't met Him yet, and they don't know. But I like the one guy that I heard talk last night. He said he was sitting in church, and he said he walked in that church with this one thought: this will be the last time I ever step inside a church. And he didn't know. I didn't hear all of his background, but he was full of hate. He was an atheist, did not believe in God. He was sitting there mocking God. And he said he began to feel something begin to pull him, like pull on his shirt almost, begin to pull. And he's like, he said, I got up and went forward, and he said, I knelt and I cussed at God. He said, I cussed. I said, what in the blank? And then he said, but God, if you are really, 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 really real, then I want you, and I will give everything I've got to you. And that guy broke through to victory before he left that altar. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's traveling around now the country preaching and telling people about discerning of spirit and how to tell. And God gave him an ability to have that spiritual gift. And for those of you who know Jesus, who are listening, for those of you who are walking, and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit in salvation and in that special gift, if you've received both of those, I'm going to encourage you today to start seeking for God to use you in those gifts in your own church body, that God will use you, because those gifts are so special to meet people's direct need that nothing else can do. When you can lay hands on somebody and say, does this mean anything to you? And tell them something that happened to them yesterday that you know nothing about. It gets their attention, sister. And you're going to know. You know what? God just spoke. Who knew that? Nobody knew that. But God knew that, and it draws us into an arena closer to God where we realize God knows me. God knows my thoughts. God knows my heart. And He loves me anyway. I loved my son's sermon yesterday. Of course, I'm going to love my son's sermons. But he preached so good yesterday, and he's preaching about don't be condemned. Jesus has forgiven you. Amen. And guess what? We let the devil condemn us. And then we walk around not taking up our authority, not taking up our rights, not walking in victory, because we're letting the devil browbeat us and say, you're not worthy. Look what you did. You can't do that. You're nobody. And really who you are is you are a King's kid. Amen. You are saved. You're filled with His Spirit. You've been called for a mission. He's got a purpose for your life. So guess what? Why do we walk in like what I've walked through? Sickness. Why don't I at the first grab a hold of some faith and slap the devil around with it and put him where he belongs? So many times it's because we're just looking in the natural and we're lacking faith, or we're feeling sorry for ourselves. Come on, pity party, pity party. You know, mama, someone used to say like this, let me play you on my little violin a pity party song, you know. My mom used to do this. I'd be whining about something, and she would come up and stick her hand kind of under my face, and she would say, now cry me a handful of tears. But you know what? God has a good plan. And guess what? It works. It works. He, in Jeremiah, he says, call unto me. He keeps telling his people, you think you can't touch me? You think you're walking this alone? You think you have nobody to care for you? Call on me and see what I will do for you. I long to talk to you. I long to fellowship with you. I long to be near you. I want you to hear my voice. God wants us to hear him. He don't want us confused when we hear a voice that we don't know if it's the dog, or if we don't know if it's the devil, or we don't know if it was our own thoughts, or if we don't know if God just spoke to us. You know how we're going to learn that? By getting into this word, and by listening, and by praying. And when he speaks to you like he did me one day, you know it's God. You know, some people, now I've never heard his audible voice. Some people have heard his audible voice. He's never spoken to me audibly, but it almost sounds audibly, because it is just, it's so audibly to you, it's just so there. And he spoke to me one day after I had come out of depression. The Lord had gently brought me out. And I want to say, if you're sitting in depression today, no, there is a way out. There is a way out. If you will start, keep, that was the one constant thing I did during depression, as I called on the Lord. I called on the Lord. I rode the altar at church. I asked people to pray for me. That's the one constant thing I had. And we've got tools to use. And I only knew that one, and that was prayer. But you know what? It was enough. You know why? Because other people carried me too. My mama would call me, and she would say, how do you feel today? And I would say, terrible. And she'd say, well, go ahead and feel bad. That's okay. If you want to feel bad today, go ahead and feel bad. It's okay. But I've talked to God, and he tells me it's going to be all right. And I would hang on to that, because I felt when you're in depression, it's all about feeling. And it's not about fact. It's all about how horrible you feel. And along with depression, for me, was despair. Has anybody ever felt despair? I mean, it's a real deal. It is a spirit that comes against people, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you feel hopeless, and you feel like there's absolutely 100% no way out of this mess. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's a feeling that the devil is sending against you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when I didn't know the way out, when I couldn't find the way out, when I didn't even know why I had fallen into depression, you know what? Most of the time, we don't even know how we got there. Some, for some people, and maybe for all of us, I don't know. I think it's an accumulation of things through our life. This trouble and that trouble and another trouble and another trouble. And we haven't known what to do with all of that. And we just canned it. And we got all these rusty cans. And all of a sudden it's like a balloon that has just popped to. It's just been blown and blown and blown and blown. And all of a sudden there's no more expanse there. And it just kapow. And sometimes I think that is where it is. For me, it felt like I just walked across the floor and fell in a hole. And like, how in the world did this happen? But I didn't know how. I didn't know how to really use the name of Jesus like I should. I really didn't know how to plead the blood like I should. I really didn't know how to get a bunch of people together and say, pray for me. I just knew this one thing. God answers prayer. And I would go to the altar at the church, and I would call out to God all by myself. And guess what? Call unto me, and I will answer you. Isn't that what it says? So guess what happened one night? A little lady came at 10 o'clock at night, knocked on my door. You've already heard this years ago. You know, through the years I've told this, but there's someone listening today that has heard this, and they need to hear that when you don't know anything else to do, and the pressure and pain is so much that you don't know why even it happened to you. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe different things have happened, but probably it's accumulation of things through the years, and all of a sudden you're in a hole and you don't know how to get out of it. Keep praying. When you can't do anything else, you can pray. If you're sitting in the car, sitting in a closet, cooking your dinners, and I had to go ahead, my husband would come in and go, what's for dinner? Well, I hadn't been cooking dinner. I was trying to get out of the hole. I was trying to get out of depression. And I was so stubborn, I would think, I'm going to stay in this one spot until God delivers me, and he's going to deliver me today. My deal is I didn't have any tools to climb out. I was calling out to God, but I was having to wait on the Lord because he had to give me some tools. He had to give me. And so what he began to do is lay a step ladder for me. He began to lay a staircase. He began to build it for me. As he began to build it, he sent people by my way and tell me what to do. And they'd tell me, get the 23rd Psalms. Read it five times a day. Five times a day. Okay. Thank you. I told Sister Winecoop, thank you, sweet little old 74-year-old woman. She don't know. You know, she's old. You know, we dismiss people because they're old or they're something else, and we don't pay a lick of attention when God's trying to speak to us through somebody, and we're judging the book by the cover. Hey, we need to wake up and start seeking God. And I was seeking him. I just didn't catch it that Sister Winecoop was sent to me. So I'm walking down the hall 3 days later. Did I listen to her? Did I go get my Bible and start reading the 23rd Psalms? Nope. I just kept going, doing what I was doing, cleaning the house, taking care of kids, what have you. Being a pastor's wife. I was a pastor's wife at that time. 3 days later, I'm going down the hall, and I call out to God either in my mind or with my mouth, and I don't know which. But I called out to God and said, you're not helping me. And you know what he said? And you're not doing what I sent Sister Winecoop to tell you to do. Mm. And I'm like, oh, you mean really? You mean that little lady really was from you? Whoa, I dropped my laundry. I had a big place, you know, a cupboard thing for it. I went through it right back in that big laundry bin. I went and got my Bible. I marched out my door. I went around to the church front doors because our house is connected to the church. I went in and I sat down on that front seat and I opened my Bible to the 23rd Psalms and I started reading. Okay, I knew to pray. I just didn't know how much the word was going to help me. So I started reading. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
Whoa. And for the first time in months, I began to feel something in my soul. The Lord. It wasn't anybody. It wasn't even the one I thought loved me the most, my husband and my mom. It wasn't either one of those people. It was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all. He, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord is. It's not a hope. It's not a maybe. It's a sure thing. I-S is. This is sitting right there. It is a fact that water's sitting there. It is a sure deal. That water's sitting there. The Lord is. These begin to mean something to me and begin to go into my soul. I'd have been barren and dry and upset and fearful and all those things going on in me. I begin to feel something. The Lord is. And here's the next word. So precious. My. Wow. The Lord is my. I knew he loved everybody. We preached it. I heard it since I was born. My mom was filled with the Holy Spirit when she was carrying me. But somehow we attribute it to everybody else and we don't quite grasp it sometimes. That Monica, Jesus loves you.
Amen. Yeah.
You were planned in his design, whether your parents planned you or not. He planned you because he loved you and he wanted you. And he thought, you know, someday Monica's going to turn to me and we're going to have the best relationship. And she's going to trust me for everything, and I'm going to sing over her every morning. I'm going to cradle her in my arms when she hurts. I'm going to train her. Oh, she's mine. She's my special. We don't think of Jesus loving us that much that he looks at our individual little things like we do our own children and go, isn't that little red hair so cute the way it curls around their ears? Isn't? We don't think of that kind of love of the Lord, but let me tell you, he loves you. He loves us. He loves the color of your eyes. He made them that way. He loves the color of your hair, even if we change it five times a week. You know, he loves you and everything about you because he designed you. And that is just still astounds me. And during this time, a little after the Lord was training me through Sister, what Sister Winecoop taught me with this word, we had moved and we were a different church, pastoring a different church, and my parents divorced. And I was just 28 years old, and I was sitting, and the Lord had taught me so much. He had taught me that His voice is not harsh. If you were wondering today what the voice of the Lord sounds like and something speaking to your ear that's harsh and mean, let me tell you, it's not God. His voice is wonderful. His voice is tender. His voice is loving. His voice is persistent. And sitting on the floor with my head over our little black leather divan, I began to weep because my parents were divorcing. And these are the words the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And God spoke them directly to my heart. He called me by name and He said, Judy, I love you more than your daddy loves you. And I will never do anything to hurt you. And I'm like, whoa. And now I realize the whole world needs to hear that. He loves you and He will never do anything to hurt you. So if there's things that hurt and rip and tear and pull you down and all of the things people curse you, let me tell you, that's not God. It's not God's plan, because you're the apple of His eye. If He had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it, because He loves you. And He showed me His love. And the next day I said, Lord, would you tell me again? That was such a special moment between me and the Lord. And I said, Lord, would you tell me you love me again? And I opened up the word and it fell open to Jeremiah 31:3. Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. He's drawing you today, you who are listening to this. He's drawing you to a relationship with Him if you don't know Him. And if you do, He's wanting to teach you and train you about Himself and who He is, because we think we know. We don't even have a drop in the bucket to understand His love, His greatness, His protection. I think in eternity we're going to get to go maybe check out videos on how He created the world, and maybe how more, and learn about His character. And we're going to want to know, can you imagine that the seraphims that are flying around the throne, that each time they fly around the throne and say, holy, 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 they say, see a new dimension of God, a new dimension of who He is. That's what I heard somebody say, so I accept it as true. Well, we know that they do fly. The angel, the seraphims, cherubims, something like that, fly around the throne. But anyway, God's love for us is so much more than we can comprehend. And He, excuse me, He brought me out. That's why I love that song. It says, my heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, and He gently brought me out to golden day. He brought me out from the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the day. I wasn't born out in sin like a lot of people, but I was a sinner. And at 5 years old, I repented of all my wicked sins, you know. But I continued to call on His name and seek Him. And even at times, I know I wasn't walking as close as He wanted me to walk. But I've had a heart for God, and it kept, and I love that. And I'm asking the people listening, just keep a heart for God. Get in the 23rd Psalms, read it several times a day, particularly if you've got situations you're hurting over. If you've got questions that have no answers right now, keep seeking God. There is an answer. And if you can't see that answer today, I couldn't come out of depression instantly, because I'd have fallen right back into it. If God had picked me up, I kept thinking I was going to pray the right prayer with the right person, because that's the only tool I knew was prayer. So I was like, you pray for me. Now you pray for me. You know, I just want everybody to pray for me. And that was fine. But Mama kept saying, that's not how it's going to happen, honey. It's going to be one step at a time. And so God laid a layer. What was the first layer? This little wine coop came to mind. I don't even know her first name. Sister Wine Coop is what we called her. Brother and Sister Wine Coop in their 70s, pastor in a little church, Campo, Colorado, stopped by my house 10 o'clock at night on their way home from a banquet they'd gone to, and gave me that little piece of information. So I started using that 23rd Psalms. It became precious to me, 23rd. And then the next person God brought in my life to pray with me and talk with me was a lady named Betty Bascom. If you hear this, Betty, thank you. I always thank you for the time you invested. I know I drove her crazy calling her. She made the mistake of saying, call me anytime. So I took her up on it. And so I would call her every week, and we would pray. And finally, years later, I was still calling her after we moved to Elk City. She said, I think it's about time to quit the calls. You know, I just call her for everything. You know what I mean? I thought, how am I going to live without Betty when the Lord moved her away from me? But she taught me a lot of things that she doesn't know she taught me. She taught me about the voice of the Lord, how the voice of the Lord is gentle. just numerous things, but one of the things she gave me was 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. And that scripture became another stepping stone out of the depression. And I found out what those stepping stones were, the staircase the Lord was building out for me. It was all scripture. It was all scripture. And as I got more scripture, I got out more of depression. I learned more scripture. I got out more of depression. And the time I walked out of that hole, I'm like, well, devil, who do you think you are? Well, and people would come to me with a problem. I'd go, well, that ain't nothing for God. That's a piece of cake for Jesus. Satan, out of here. And guess what? He'd go. I knew my authority. But it took me walking those steps and taking those layers. Too many of us, and some of the people I know right now, excuse me, are doing this. After we've had big losses, after we've lost someone that's very dear to us, that's very, very tender ground. Mm-hmm. And everybody deals with it the same. I'm just saying this. Don't let the devil isolate you. You need people. You need to keep seeking the Lord, but you need your church. You need to sit and hear a sermon every week, and not just over the internet. It's okay, but pastor can't reach out and touch you that way. And I know when I was sick and I was watching it online, as soon as they call people up to pray, they turn it off for privacy's sake for the people who want to pray in privacy up front. And I'm like, man, I wanted to be included in that prayer, you know, but you can't get that over the internet. If I got to be included in a prayer, I need to be sitting there and let people come up, put their hand on me or around me and say, sister, let's agree in prayer. And we can't do that when we're in two different locations. I mean, there is an advantage, and the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, except when there's COVID. Oh, no, don't you say that part. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. Because what can happen is then we begin to let fear rule us. Because this stuff isn't a game. I've had it now 2 times. And it's not fun. And there is, and so it will make you a little squeamish if you let it to where you want to really just hide from people. But I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just saying, don't neglect your family. Don't neglect your church family. Get with people and pray. Get with the healthy people and pray for those who are sick. And use your tools, prayer and the Word of God. And get those scriptures, the 23rd Psalms, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. And I begin to learn, and then I begin to just add other scriptures and more, and I don't even know all the scriptures God used to help me, but the Bible opened up to me. Mm-hmm. And as it did, then I begin to grow. And one day I looked around and go, hot dog, you know, I'm out of that depression. I'm out. Praise God. And I was able to turn and many times look and see and recognize, oh, I see what's going on. I see it. And can I pray with you, baby? Come here. Let me give you some tools. Come here. Let's start with the 23rd Psalms. Because you know that's what we do is how the Lord has healed us. Then that becomes our mess becomes our ministry. Because God took our mess and he helped us. And then it becomes our ministry. And anyway, do we need to pray now?
Yeah. You talking about our mess becomes our ministry reminds me of what Monica has said. Our history becomes his story.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. And I want to throw something in on the reading of the Bible before we start the prayer requests. I heard this years ago, and it's a great recipe for healing yourself. And it's to read a psalm every day and a proverb every day.
That's good.
And the schedule is, like, today's the 24th. So today you would read Psalms 24, 54, 84, 114, and 144. Cool. So every 30 days, every 30 scriptures, every 30 books, and also Proverbs 24. Then tomorrow, or you could start with Psalms 1, but I would say to stay up with the calendar, it's easier to start with whatever day of the month it is. Yeah. Uh-huh. So tomorrow you would start with Psalms 25, and then 55, 85, 115, 145, and Psalms.
Yeah,
right. And do that for several months, and you'll be amazed at how healthy your spiritual life will be.
And it, see, it gives you this. You don't even realize it's happening. It's dropping things in your
heart
and in your mind. That when the devil comes at you, you go, wait, no, that's not right.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't have to accept that. You're a liar. I don't. And here's what God's word says. So who are you to say anything different than this?
That's right. That's right.
And it gives you ground to stand on, and you become. Well, sometimes we get a little cocky with it. You know, but I guess that's okay. You know you're right.
Yeah. We do have several prayer requests. You know, there's some people that have called this the hour of prayer, and it was started so that we could pray for people. And, of course, from prayer comes power, so we gave it that name, the hour of power. This first prayer request is for Kathy Giles, who is having surgery this morning. And her daughter said, we believe everything's going to be okay, but a little extra prayer never hurt anything. So we want to pray for Kathy. And then a good friend of mine has asked me to pray for her sister Janice Oliveto, who's in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. She actually lives in California. And then I would ask you to pray for my good friend Pam Patrick, who has been dealing with some back issues. And the Western Oklahoma Family Care Center is shut down for a couple of days because of COVID and needing to just regroup and recoup and get everybody past, you know, the stage of maybe being contagious, I guess. And then we want to pray for the family of Mike, also most generally called Pops, Mike Smith from Canton, Texas. And he went to his heavenly home this past Friday, and he's the father-in-law of one of my bonus kids' sisters. So, connection there, you know, people reach out from all different directions for you to pray when they know you're a praying warrior.
Yeah.
And then I would just ask you to pray for Joe as we go to the city today to start proton therapy on the tumor that is pushing against his left kidney.